God expects from us, and how the power of God operates. You know, the Bible tells us that some people hear the word and they are emotional hearers. They hear it through their emotions, and then others are what we term to be worldly hearers. They hear it through their flesh, but then. There's some that's called the receptive hearers of the word. And so the receptive hearers of the word of God are the doers of the word. And what I'm seeing more and more as we go into this period of time, just before the Lord returns, we are beginning, I believe, to see the great falling away. And this great falling away is consisting of people that have gotten used to just coming to church, sitting on a pew, listening to the word, and then going and doing whatever they want to do all during the week. It consists of people that are truly not following the Word of God, not being taught the Word of God, not really becoming what we used to call traditional Christians, where they're just there because, after all, they grew up in the church, mama and daddy did this, and so here we are, type of a Christianity. And these are very perilous, dangerous times to play around with spiritual things. These are times that we have to get a hold to ourselves. And we have to tell our Lord, "Lord, whatever it takes, I want to go through." Because people are really, really getting caught up in some strange doctrines and some strange things. And a lot of things that are being taught, I'm going to be honest and flat out honest, is not the Word of God, unfortunately. But you know, the Bible says the days will come when there will be a famine in the Word. People will run from place to place seeking to find the Word of God. But you see, those same people that are running from place to place seeking, some of them don't know what they're looking for. They don't know that they're like dried up prunes that haven't heard the Word of God, haven't been taught the Word of God, but that's what they're missing. So they're looking for something. And you know, the unfortunate part about it, there's very few people really seeking after Jesus in this hour. And I can tell you there's very few seeking after His anointing and His power. Because the Bible says the time will come when they will look for a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. And you see, when you read about Jesus teaching His disciples, He taught them the Word of God, coupled with the power of God, the action of God, so that they could see that the Word of God operates and it works. And so, unfortunately, people are not exactly looking for the truth in our hour. They're looking for better homes, better lives in the physical realms, but they're destitute in the spiritual realms. And so we have to just really begin to seek God and ask Him what our purpose is in His kingdom. What would you have me to do in your kingdom? Because of the fact God says that we must be doers of the word. And He said, don't be just listeners, be doers. And so we see in Luke 8, I'm just going to touch upon the storm that was stilled, but we're going down in deeper into another part of Luke 8. But the disciples were on the boat. Jesus was asleep. And suddenly a great storm came up. And this storm that came up, the disciples were fearful for their life. And there's the leader that they had become dependent upon, totally dependent upon, for all of their spiritual needs. And he was asleep. But you see, God had sat with these people, and he was teaching them the action of the gospel, that they had to be the doers of the word, because the Bible shows us that he called them, laid hands on them, gave them the authority to use his name to cast out demons. And the Bible shows us that they were healing the sick and casting out demons. And so from that, we have to perceive that they were beginning to experience the use and the ability of operating under the anointing of Jesus and his name. But all of a sudden, he was separated from them by sleep, and things began to happen in the world, and they became very, very fearful. All of a sudden, all of these times that they had seen Christ and his dominion over the spirit realms, they were helpless. They just really didn't know what to do when natural powers or supernatural powers begin to stir up around them. They didn't know what to do except, according to those scriptures, they cried out. They cried out. Now, why didn't they know what to do? They were filled with doubt. Now, you see, this is where the church is coming now, is in the realms of doubting Christians, because storms are beginning to brew over every family in this nation. They're beginning to brew over every Christian in this nation. You see, when the tree is green, people really don't think about the Lord, unfortunately. And coming up in America, we've had it so great, so good, until we just expect that we are particular people in Christ, apart from all of the other Christians in the world, and that we're his chosen vessels to come and sit in a church and dance around and then go and do our own thing. I'm telling you, things are beginning to look dead in many of the churches today. And I remember some years ago, I was seeking the Lord about some of the doctrines that I was hearing spring up in churches. And some of those doctrines, they lead the people to think about themselves and who they are and what they do and what they can do. And they hardly ever even mention the name of Jesus. Jesus is spoken of as the Lord or God. And so these people, when they, I was at a conference this past week, and it was all about people becoming kings. The Bible does say that we're a chosen generation, that we are kings, you see. But we're kings in God's kingdom, and he expects us to do the work of the kingdom, not preparing us to become kings. We are kings through the blood of Jesus Christ, you see. And so the whole teaching was just a bunch of mishmash and deadness, and the people were dead. And I said, Lord, my God. I said, where is all of this going? He said, I've already told you. He said, an old move has to die before a new move raises up. He said, if I raised a new move up right now, where are they going to go? They will go right in to the old move and be polluted to the things that you just listened to and the things that you heard. And so I know that God showed me many years ago that He was going to have a move, and it would be a move along the book of Acts where His people would become doers of the Word of God and receivers of the Word of God, and they would rise up like mighty giants. And this is not all. There will be people that will do this to get the harvest just before Jesus returns, because the Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. And if you've got people going into churches just to hear about how much money they can get, what they can do, or little stories about events that happens in the pastor's lives that has absolutely nothing to do with the Word of God, or anything to even do with the message that he's trying or she's trying to preach, and you get to the end and you say, well, what in the world was that all about? And then when you start discerning and thinking about that message and you've never heard Jesus' name even said, I can tell you what it's about. It's about nothing. So the people leave the meeting with nothing. And God told me that you're going to have to be led to find the truth of Him in this last hour of the church. He is the one that opens the door and says, come. The Bible says, no one comes to the Father unless what? The Spirit of the Lord draws them. That's the Word of God. And so you don't get saved because you want to. God prepares your heart to receive the things that you have to do in order to fellowship with God. And repentance is certainly a big part of that. But my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ said, you didn't find me, I found you. Isn't that the truth? So these are days that are very perilous. And what you hear being preached, you better ask God to give you supernatural spiritual ears so that you can hear, Father, is this the truth? Because many voices have been put across this world that are preaching false testimonies. And I heard some this past week. It was just crushing, because you see the people sitting there and they're not getting anything. And then you say, oh God, those people are going away from here with nothing. He said, but you see, remember that scripture that tells you that the people are the ones that gather the teachers. It's not the teachers that gather the people. And that scripture tells us that they gather the teachers. Why? To tickle their ears. Isn't that right? It tells us that they gather them and that the teachers will lead them into doctrines of devils. And whenever a preacher is standing before you and he's not leading you into the Word of God and in to who Jesus is, that's a false teacher. He can have Christian in front of his name. He could have Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Charismatic, Pentecostal, anything in front of his name. If he is not teaching you who Jesus Christ is, don't listen to it. Don't let it come into your spirit. Don't tarry around those altars, because I'm telling you, the new world church is being formed as I speak to you today. And many multitudes, there'll be a large falling away from when Jesus returns. Well, what are they going to fall away from? Revelation chapter 3 tells us that they're sitting in churches, They're wealthy. They're giving to the poor. They're attending churches. But Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 3 is standing outside the door trying to get in. Jesus is not the center of that church. That is where we are today, I believe, in Christianity. In our country, anyway. So we want to talk about the power of God and how the power of God will make a difference in this hour, because when you see the power of God and when you see that it's all connected to Jesus, then whenever issues come up, that's the only place that you can go. That's where you have to run to, Jesus. See, these disciples knew what to do. They were in a helpless situation, hopeless. They feared for their lives in these scriptures. And then we see that whenever the things of this world begin to rule over them, instead of all of these great scriptures that Jesus had taught them, all of the great power that he had shown them, they doubted, they feared, and they forgot the power of Jesus in their own lives. They knew he had the answer, you see. But whenever all of these raging waters and everything begin to rage over their life, you can see in verse 25, and it says, "And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." It just might shock you that the devil moves in winds and waters. And we folks that live in Florida and Louisiana and Texas, we should know that at this moment. We have come through powerful hurricanes, and they're still coming. They're into Alpha, and now Beta is come across the ocean. And these things are destructive powers, and they're destroying lives and cities and churches, and Christians are filled with doubt and unbelief. You see, we're living in a time where we're going to have to rise up and become spiritual giants so that we can give the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Because he has not changed. He's the same today as he was yesterday. And the Bible says in Hebrews he'll be forever. He's sitting at the right hand of God on the seat of power, making intercession for us according to Hebrews, but at the same time giving his power to us who believe. That means that he wants us to move in the same anointing and in the same powers that he did when he walked on the earth. And it's possible to do that. I've done it all over the world, and I'm telling you, you can do things that you've never dreamed of that you can do if you have the faith that you can do it. And if it agrees with the Word of God, you can do it, okay? And so after these scriptures happen, then we come in to verse 26, and that's where I'm trying to get to. And the Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now let me just stop here a moment and talk to you. These particular scriptures, it shows that they went into this certain place, and here's a man that has legions of demons, and he's living in the tombs. And the Bible shows us that when Jesus made his entrance into that place, Jesus did not go to the Gadarene and cast those spirits out. The Gadarene man came to Jesus. Now, this is a very important scripture that people need to have a full understanding of. You cannot find help unless you come to Jesus. Help is not there for you unless you come to Jesus. Now, I've known deliverance ministers over the years, and they go out and they try to do the deliverance ministry up and down the streets and things like that. And let me tell you right now, you can sure drive a bunch of demons out if you go up there on 8th Street and you begin to witness to those people. You can drive them out right there on the spot. You can do it. Demons have to obey the name of Jesus. They have to obey his name because he's the superior power, you see. But if you drive devils out of people that don't want to commit and submit them their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can create what I call spiritual monsters. You can create people that you've driven the demon out. They might be interested in Jesus for a couple of weeks because they've gotten some relief. Because when demons leave, all the pains leave in their bodies, the headaches leave in their bodies, they feel great. You know, they feel 20 years younger. But I'm going to tell you, when the devil comes back to see if they're serving Jesus, when the devil comes back with his bag of tricks and sins, and whenever their favorite little things that they used to love to do, their alcohol, their cigarettes, their sexual perversions, all of these things that they used to do, and the first time that they step back and do it again, 7 times worse comes back into their vessel, you see. But, yeah, they can. You can free them. You can make devils leave by the name of Jesus. And this is why a deliverance minister has to be led by the Spirit of God. Even when I go out and minister in meetings, I am led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus concerning deliverance. I see many people come through the line that need deliverance. And the Lord will say, "Oh no, just pray." And a lot of times later on, he'll show me that person and show me why I just prayed. And for lack of time, I can't tell you some of those stories today. But the truth of it is you can create spiritual monsters if people don't want to serve Jesus. Don't fool around with deliverance. Don't go after it. Don't ask for it. Because of the fact that you can get in spiritual trouble if you play around with the holy things of God, right? And in this particular case, you see, this man saw Jesus. The demons saw Jesus. The demons are speaking through the voice of this man. And he knows, the demon knows, that Jesus can drive them out, you see? And so he says, "What have we to do with thee?" In other words, the demons do not want to go. Now, the man asked these demons what their name was in the next verse. And the Bible says, "Legion, because we are many." A legion is about 6,000 demons. And so then they asked Jesus, they said, don't send us out into the deep. Don't do that. So they knew that Jesus could drive them out, right? And so then the next verse we see that they asked to be sent into the swine. And Jesus accommodated them. But then, later on in these verses, you will see that the swine went down the slope and went into the sea. Why did that happen? Well, you see, Jesus, everything he does is for a teaching experience for us. And why that happened was Jesus wanted to show us that these devils, that their purpose is to come, kill, and destroy. That's what they're there for. And that poor man had been in that tomb, bashing his head against the wall, struggling to survive. And the Bible shows us that as he struggled to survive, he survived. But then, when the demons came out of that man and they went into that swine, the Bible shows us that they drove the swine to death. Why? Because that's what they are supposed to do. They're supposed to drive people to death. They come to rob, kill, and destroy. So the man was free. The next parts of these scriptures show us that this man was sitting at the right of Jesus, fully clothed, in his sound mind, and all of the people from the city came to see what happened. And believe me, they knew about that man. They knew he was up there. They were probably frightened of that man. And in addition to that, they were curious about what was going on up there. So the Bible says they saw the man fully clothed and in his right mind, and they looked at Jesus and they said, "Leave, we are afraid of you." Now the truth is that demons in people are afraid of people that can cast them out, and they will keep people away from people that can cast them out too. And in Africa, when you go to Africa, the churches are swamped out. People there looking for help, looking for miracles, looking for deliverance, looking for teaching, looking for everything. Hungry for the Lord. In America, people are looking for a song and a dance and a hallelujah, saying they're worshiping Jesus, and they don't even know who he is, a lot of them, unfortunately. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord is not happy with the way things are in this nation. And I believe that the Lord has shown me that things are going to begin to happen, that people are going to be driven to his feet because they're not going to come willingly. They're going to be driven to the feet of Jesus, the ones that come, because of the fact that we have it so easy, so good. We can have and do anything that we want to in this nation. We have so much, And he's just some little name. And in the preachings in many of the churches today, his name is never mentioned in sermons. Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And you cannot go back with Jesus with your life a mess, living in fornication, living in alcoholism, drugs, everything that you can imagine. Think that Jesus is going to come back and get you. You will not make it. I'm telling you. The only way that you can get cleaned up, you need deliverance. And then you must commit your life to Jesus. See, he spoke to the wind. It calmed. He spoke to the legion. It calmed. And we have that delegated authority to do those same things. The problem is the workers are few and hardly anybody's interested in those things anymore. You see, I'm interested in a living Christ and a living Word, one that I can depend on when I have a need. When I get in trouble, I run to Jesus. You know, the devil tried to kill me last year. Had a witch to grab me by my arm and run with me.